Good evening, Brentwood families. We are delighted that so many of you have joined us this evening for our webinar. Also on this call with me are administrators, teachers, and one of our school nurses. The purpose of the webinar is to provide you with a description of the return to school options. Then, on July 29th, a parent survey will be sent from each school building, requesting that families select the option that best meets their children's needs for the beginning of the school year. After the survey closes, we will meet to discuss the results and to determine the next steps for creating class rosters and student schedules. The format of tonight's webinar is as follows. The first 30 minutes, the team or the group of panelists that are on the call with me will describe the two options for returning to school. The last 30 minutes of the webinar will be dedicated to answering questions. If we don't answer all of the questions posed, we will include those responses in an FAQ located on the district website. At the end of this webinar, I'll explain to you how to access that website. Our panelists for tonight are myself, which is Amy Birch, superintendent, Dr. Chris Winarski, director of special education and English as a second language coordinator, Mr. Dave Radcliffe, middle school principal, Mrs. Aggie Greer, school nurse, Mrs. Suzanne Ailes, BEA president and kindergarten teacher, and Mrs. Lynn Golvash, BEA executive board member and middle school teacher. We are also translating this broadcast into several different languages, so please bear with us as we do our best to stick to the script that we have written. Before I turn things over to the panelists, I wanted to explain to you a little bit more about Brentwood Canvas. Based on the parent and student feedback that we had received from the survey, it indicated that parents needed a central location for all work to be stored. Parents and students also requested increased face-to-face or synchronous learning. They also requested an online learning platform for grades K to 12. We also know that it will house all curriculum, lesson plans, and activities, assignments, and much more. Parents and families will have the option of in-person or remote learning for each of their children and will have the option to reconsider their choice every 4.5 weeks. Before I continue on, I just want to make sure that we are recording. The message that I'm receiving says that we are recording on this device, so we are going to continue. Let's start first with Mrs. Aggie Greer and her perspective from a school nurse position. Mrs. Greer, please take it away.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Aggie Greer, and I am the middle high school nurse. I've been a nurse for 25 years, and I have been working in the Brentwood Borough schools for 8 years. As a grandparent and parent, I know that I too would have questions about schools and how they would handle children who become ill during the school day if they are attending in person. The district is working with local officials from Allegheny County, several health networks, and we are following all pertinent guidelines from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to implement and refine a health and safety plan, details of which can be found on our district website. Before deciding whether to send your child to school, please check them for these symptoms. If your child is experiencing one or more of these symptoms, do not send them to school. A fever of 100.4 or above, a cough, shortness of breath, or difficulty breathing. If your child is experiencing two or more of these symptoms, please do not send them to school. Sore throat, chills, muscle pain, runny nose or congestion, lack of smell or taste, nausea, headache, or diarrhea. Students who develop symptoms consistent with those associated with COVID-19 during the school day will be quarantined in an isolated, dedicated isolation room in the school and will be sent home. We ask that if you are called to pick up a student, you please do so as soon as possible to limit unnecessary exposure to others in the school building. Based on current health recommendation guidelines, we too recommend that the students use proper hygiene practices, such as diligent hand washing, wearing a mask, tissue use, and also maintaining a distance of 6 feet from others. As a parent, there are several factors I would consider when making the decision for my child to return to school in person. Each family will have different factors to consider based on their current circumstances. But here are a few things I would think about. Does my child live in a multi-generational housing? Are older individuals taking care of my child? Does my child have frequent contact with someone who has underlying health conditions, such as being immunocompromised? The effects of contracting COVID-19 seem to be more serious for those over 60 years of age and anyone with a pre-existing health condition. The decision between in-person and cyber schooling will depend on each family's unique situation. Regardless of your choice, please know that the health and well-being of all our school members is of the utmost importance to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Greer. Now let's turn to Dr. Winarski. She's going to explain the elementary in-person option for us.
Okay, thanks, Dr. Birch. I'm going to repeat several things, you know, throughout this broadcast that other people have said. And the first thing is how much we are relying on you as parents to help monitor the health of your children and to please keep them home if they are sick. Please know that there's a system in place for students who exhibit symptoms of the illness when they're here at school. Our maintenance and custodial staff are implementing enhanced cleaning procedures throughout the buildings. Social distancing will be enforced to the greatest extent possible, and the district will be following the requirement for students to wear face coverings, while we also recognize that there are some students who may be unmasked due to physical and mental health conditions that have been documented by their doctor. Students will be entering and exiting the building through multiple doors and at staggered times to avoid large groups when entering and exiting the building. Student movement during the day is also going to be limited. Instead of students moving from classroom to classroom, teachers will move from classroom to classroom, and this will include their specials teachers. Under this option, students will begin at 8:15 a.m., 15 minutes earlier than in previous years, and will be dismissed at 1:35 p.m. Each class will be approximately 32 to 34 minutes long. Teachers will be available for the virtual learning office hours from 1:45 to 3:35 every day except for Friday, when the teacher dismissal time is adjusted to 3 o'clock. Breakfast will continue to be available for our students. We'll be serving it from 7:45 to 8:15 in the cafeteria, but please note no students will be admitted into the building prior to 7:45. Students eating their breakfast will be monitored by our paraprofessionals and available staff members. Lunches will be scheduled as close to the usual time as possible, but lunches may be served in locations other than our cafeteria to allow for as much social distancing as possible. Lunches will be monitored by the staff, and students will be receiving bagged lunches. Student dismissal will be staggered also, and the time, like I said, is scheduled for 1:35 p.m. The YMCA will continue to provide their after-school program in each of the elementary schools and are willing to have students stay with them until 6 o'clock. But note, there is a fee for the service. Students that need to be picked up by older siblings will go to a designated area in the elementary schools that will be monitored by the staff until their older brothers or sisters from the middle high school students or middle high school that are dismissed around 2:30 and have time to walk to the elementaries to pick up their siblings. Elementary students waiting to be picked up are expected to utilize that time from 1:35 to 2:40 for independent work or virtual learning time. The six-day rotation will remain the same. We're recommending to families that they send their children to school with a water bottle, as all of the water fountains in the schools have been turned off, while some have been converted into water bottle filling stations. Families may request to have their students change from in-person hybrid to the Brentwood Canvas program. These requests will be honored every 4.5 weeks at the progress report time, unless there are extenuating circumstances. Parents are
Well, it appears that we lost Dr. Wynarski there, but she was just finishing her speech anyway, and I was about to turn things over to Mr. Radcliffe, who was going to explain the secondary return to school option in person. Mr. Radcliffe, are you able to hear us?
I am. Thank you, Dr. Birch, and welcome everybody. Some of the elements of the in-person return for the secondary students are similar to the elementary. It's very important that all families complete the survey, as we will be using that information to determine how many students will be back with us in person and how many students will be taking advantage of the remote option. As of now, our plan for students who come in person is that they will be here 5 days a week. However, we also think it's very important to note that depending on the results of the survey, we may have to move towards a rotational schedule. So for example, if a larger number of students chose to be in person that did not allow us to properly socially or physically distance them during the day, we may have to go to a rotation where students only come in person a couple days a week. However, until we get those survey results back, it will be impossible to say, but as of now, our plan is to have all in-person students back with us 5 days a week. As Dr. Wynarski said, it will be extremely important for parents to monitor the health of their children at home. We want to make sure that no students who are exhibiting any of these symptoms that Nurse Greer talked about are sent to school. Our custodial and maintenance staff has been working all summer on enhanced cleaning procedures that will continue throughout the school year. For example, making sure that they very often hit those high touch areas. So we do have some things in place to make sure that the building is as safe as it can be for those students and staff who are here in person. We will attempt the best we can to provide physical distancing throughout the building when students are here. Obviously, the guidelines provided by the medical experts is 6 feet of physical distancing between students. However, we do want to make note that there are times during the day where we may not be able to firmly hold to that 6-foot rule. However, we will do our absolute best to keep kids as separate as possible in the building. As Dr. Wynarski mentioned, masks will also be required at the middle high school, other than medical exemptions that students may have. One of the major changes at the secondary level is the daily schedule. The daily schedule for both middle school and high school will start a little bit later in the morning, and students will be dismissed a little bit earlier. Students at the middle high school, grades 6 through 12, will begin the school day at 9 o'clock, which is an hour later than usual, and they will be dismissed at 2:15. Each class period will be 32 minutes in length. The reason for the transfer to the new schedule is twofold. Number one, it'll give our teachers the opportunity and the time they need to also have contact with the students who are remote. And secondly, it will also give our custodial and maintenance staff more of an opportunity to make sure that the buildings are cleaned and sanitized appropriately. So once again, the daily schedule for both middle and high school is that classes will begin at 9 a.m. and dismissal will be at 2:15. The grading scale will go back to our traditional 10-point scale. So I'm sure that everybody remembers last year from March to June, we made some adjustments to the grading scale. However, next year we will go back to the 90 to 100 is an A, 80 to 89 is a B, so on and so forth. So that 10-point scale will be back in effect next year for both in-person and remote learners. Lunch is obviously a place where there are going to be some changes. So the serving of lunch will be a little bit different in terms of what options the student have, and eliminating areas such as a salad bar, you know, where students would be touching the food and not adhering to the social distance that we've talked about. Also, we're going to have different locations for lunch. Although most of the students will be able to be in the cafeteria, we've also discussed the use of the blue gym and having tables in there to help to separate the students and just give them a little bit more space. There will be some changes to traffic patterns throughout the building. For example, we may identify stairwells that are either up or down stairwells to keep kids moving in the same direction. And we've also talked about things like directional arrows in the hallways to make sure that we're limiting physical contact between the students as much as possible. Also, there will be multiple entry and dismissal locations to try to avoid congestion at the beginning of the day and end of the day. So the students will have multiple entrances they can come for. And just for safety purposes, obviously, those entrances will be staffed by school staff as the kids are coming in. There are a couple traditional rules that we've had at the middle high school that we're going to have to reconsider and change for this year. One of those is backpacks. In the past, we have not allowed students to carry backpacks during the day. However, in order to avoid students congregating at lockers and in hallways, we are going to allow students to have backpacks that they will take with them from class to class to carry their materials. In addition, in the past, we have not allowed water bottles to be carried in the building. However, due to the attempt to have children not use the public water fountain, students will be permitted to carry water bottles with them throughout the building. And we've done that in the past, especially at the beginning of the year and end of the year when the weather is a little bit warmer. I know many of the middle school and high school students and parents are very interested in extracurricular activities. If students are in person or if they are remote, they will be permitted to be involved in extracurricular activities if those activities are available. And whether or not those activities, clubs, athletics, so on and so forth, whether or not they are available will depend on guidelines that we receive from state, local, and other governing agencies such as the WPIL and the PIAA. So we are consistently getting information from those groups to let us know what's going to happen in terms of athletics activities and the like.
Before I move on, I'd like to pause and point out that Dr. Bettler and Dr. Pagan are currently monitoring the chat feature that is associated with this webinar. And so if you have a question that you would like for us to address in the second part of the 30 minutes, if you wouldn't mind typing that question in, those two ladies are going to sort those questions for us and then provide them so that I can read them aloud and we'll work through them. So that will conclude the first part of the in-person return at both the elementary level and the secondary level. I wanted to reiterate what you heard. The results of the parent survey will determine class rosters, schedules, and how many days per week the students are actually going to be in the building. So now that we've covered those, let's turn our attention to the Brentwood Canvas option that I briefly introduced at the beginning of this webinar. This option will be for families that just aren't comfortable with sending their children back, or maybe your family has a special condition that would prevent you from sending them back at this point in time. Let's confirm that Dr. Winarski was able to rejoin us. Dr. Winarski, are you there?
I am, and I think I'm unfrozen now.
Okay, fantastic. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. And you know, we're going to talk about the remote option now. And as you heard in Dr. Birch's explanation, the new online learning will not look the same as last year's remote option. The biggest difference from last year is the district will be utilizing the consistent learning management system called Canvas, grades K to 12. There will be more uniformity in the look of the program. We're developing templates with our staff so that the design of the screen is consistent between grades, teachers, and buildings. This consistency should help the parents and students navigate the system with much more ease. The other big difference from last year is the amount of time that the students are expected to be working on instruction. If you remember last year, at the elementary level, we were saying it should probably be about an hour of reading.
Dr. Winarski, I think you have frozen on us again. The last thing that we heard was that it was going to be an hour of reading and an hour of math. If she doesn't join us in a few more seconds, I'll go ahead and take over for what she was sharing with us there. Let's give her a few seconds and see if she becomes unfrozen. Okay, well, just to keep things moving, she was going to go on to say the teachers will upload lessons and resources on a weekly basis into Canvas. And then all due dates and assignments must be met by the students, and the grading scale is going to be as per district policy. So again, that is different from last year. We're going to continue to review and consider different options related to monitoring student attendance, but it's important to note that students will have the flexibility to sign in to their lessons throughout the day. Teacher office hours, I do believe that's on the next slide, so let me move on to that. Teacher office hours are going to be Monday through Thursday from 1:45 to 3:35, unless mutually agreed upon between student and teacher. Friday hours are going to be from 1:45 to 3 p.m. As we've mentioned several times, transfer requests will be discussed at the 4.5 week mark, which is progress report time, unless if there are extenuating circumstances. And we do anticipate that there are going to be extenuating circumstances. As Mr. Radcliffe has already mentioned, participating in extracurricular activities will be permitted as long as the students meet the criteria that's been outlined in district policies. Something that we firmly believe in, and again, this was based on the feedback that we had received in the parent and the student surveys, was that it is extremely important for teachers to be able to make those connections with students. And last year, the teachers did everything that they could to reach out via cell phone or email. Well, this year we are stressing that the online learning or synchronous learning is going to have to be a part of the program. So that is something that we are looking into quite substantially at this point. Dr. Winarski and the administrative team have been reading and discussing things that are very important. And again, the staff relationship with our students is extremely important. So there are going to be opportunities for students that are online to connect with their in-class or in-person classmates as the day goes on, as the year goes on. So it might not sound like instruction, but we do believe it's going to be very important to maintain those relationships throughout the year, because we know that some students might start out virtually and decide to come back if that's possible. And we understand that there might be some students that start in person and for whatever reason have to shift. So we want to keep that connection there. Mr. Radcliffe, why don't you go ahead and explain the secondary remote Brentwood Canvas online option?
One of the things that changed at the end of last year based on the situation is we decided that it was extremely important for this year for all students to have their own device. So planning that was mainly occurring for the high school went across the district, and at some point during this year, all students will receive a laptop computer and we will be one-to-one. However, it is important to note that due to the lack of production of those devices that took place back when the situation was at its worst, those devices are on back order. So what the plan is for now is any students who start the year remote will receive a district issued laptop until the new devices are received. So once again, the students who choose to be remote will receive laptops from the district. Once the new laptops come in, students across the district from K through 12 will be one-to-one with Chromebooks. We did mention earlier that the grading scale for both remote learners and those who are in person will be our traditional 10-point scale. The amount of time spent in online classes is expected this year to mirror the amount of time that students spend when they are in school in person. One of the main differences is that the students who are remote will have a little bit more flexibility in terms of when to complete those assignments. However, it is extremely important to note that this year, from the beginning of the year, specific deadlines, specific assignment due dates, and things of those nature will be put into Canvas by the teachers, and the kids are expected to make sure that they're abiding by those deadlines. It will be extremely important that students log into the courses daily. So students will have some flexibility in terms of when they complete the instructional assignments, when they complete their work. However, it is important that they log in every day and give themselves enough time to complete the work as if they were here in person. Once again, we had mentioned extracurricular activities, that the ability to hold those types of events will depend on guidelines from state, local, and other governing bodies such as the WPIL and PIAA. Any students, whether they are in person or remote, will have the opportunity to be involved in those extracurricular activities as long as we are able to hold them. For students who are online this year, for students who choose the remote learning option to begin the year, lunches will be available. We are talking about a system to distribute the lunches 2 or 3 days a week from here at the middle high school. So whether you're an elementary student or a middle high school student, if you are remote, you will have the opportunity to come up to the middle high school to pick up lunches. If you qualify for the free and reduced lunch program, that will continue. You will still have to complete the free and reduced lunch form that is available on the district website. That has to be done by October. If you are not eligible for the free and reduced lunch program, you will still be able to come to the school to pick up lunches if you choose. However, they would be charged as if you were here in person. The teacher office hours for students who are remote will be from 7:45 to 8:45 in the morning and from 2:15 to 3:15 in the afternoon for students at the middle high school. So once again, any students who are remote to begin the year will have access to their teachers from 7:45 to 8:45 in the morning, and then from 2:15 till 3:15 in the afternoon. And as Dr. Winarski and Dr. Birch had mentioned several times, the Canvas platform that we're using is much more robust, and we're very excited to be able to provide some instructional things that weren't possible last year using Microsoft Teams here at the middle high school.
Thank you, Mr. Radcliffe. Another part of our process for moving forward was to definitely include our staff in on the decision making. So also with us tonight are Mrs. Ailes and Mrs. Golvash, and they had a message that they wanted to share with you as well. So Mrs. Ailes, Mrs. Golvash.
Good evening, everyone. If you don't know who I am, I'm Mrs. Ailes. I teach kindergarten at Elroy. I am also the president of our BEA, which is the Brentwood Education Association, and it's the teachers, the school counselors, and nurses. I'm joining this evening, as Dr. Burt said, to represent all of us who are part of your child's education. We know that when we left school, it was very stressful because everything was new to all of us, and there was a lot of uncertainty each day, which makes it difficult to plan for. So due to the unexpected closure of school this past spring, we had to scramble to find a way to continue your child's education. However, with the new Canvas learning management system, as Dr. Winarski had said, we will be district-wide, you know, working within the same program. So if you have children at multiple levels, you won't be using something separate, which I know some of the parents had shared were their concerns when we saw the surveys. This way it will be consistent across the district for you. Now we can make changes too, because, you know, as parents, you have given us the opportunity to look over what your questions and concerns were, and also what we could do to, make changes to make it easier for you and your children. We thank you for sharing your thoughts. We're in this with you, you know, as a whole district, everyone has to work together. You know, the most important is communication, needs to be a strong bond among all of us. And, you know, we've been working for a few weeks now, coming in to meet with administrators so that, you know, we all have a role in what's going to happen in the fall, so that your child has, you know, a good education, but in a safe manner. So as we go along, as you know, everything can change from one day to the next. So we're hoping that, you know, we could figure out something and, you know, hopefully things will go smoothly. So, you know, there will be adjustments along the way, but know that, you know, we're here for you and your, you know, our students, and please reach out when you need to. And thank you always for your support.
I'm Mrs. Lynn Golvash. I teach eighth grade math and algebra at the middle school. Just to echo what Suzanne just spoke of, you know, when we were doing the remote learning in the spring, obviously it was something new for everyone. I know there were, you know, some glitches and things, but please know that whether students are in our classrooms in person or, you know, if you choose the remote learning, you know, please know that we are committed to the safety, well-being, and education of all of your students. We're going to do our very, very best, as Dr. Birch has mentioned, and as Suzanne just mentioned, you know, teachers have been meeting with administrators, communicating all summer, just trying to, you know, kind of sort things out, see what would be best. As a middle school teacher, you know, I don't know everything that goes on in the elementary and vice versa. So it's been really, you know, a good group of people coming together to try to address all the concerns that people would have from K to 12. The other component I know a lot of the teachers and students and families missed was that connection. And, you know, the teachers are really, you know, feeling positive about the Canvas program, about being able to do some live synchronous learning with the students. You know, because I know connecting with students was a big thing that a lot of the teachers I know, you know, missed and really, really would like to improve upon, I think. So whether we're in person with your child or we're, you know, doing remote learning, hopefully that piece will be there. And as I said, we're committed to doing what's best for the safety and well-being of our Brentwood students.
Thank you, ladies. So before I move into the question and answer session, and I have quite a stack in my hand here, which is fantastic, because that's a great way for us to continue the conversation, I do want to make sure that everybody understands how to access the information that we've been posting. So if you pull up the bb-sd.com website, you go over to the Departments tab, and you click on it. And when you do that, a drop-down bar is going to appear. And the very last department is called COVID-19. And when you click on that, it will bring you to the COVID-19 page. And on the particular page right now, I just updated this from earlier this morning with the help of Dr. Bettler. The first thing you're going to see there in the box are the COVID-19 updates that start all the way back on March 16th. And it was all of the information that had been shared with families from then through June. Then the next box underneath it is new as of today. So last Thursday, late in the afternoon, the CDC released updated guidance for school districts. And two resources that they put out there for parents that had not been there previously was a decision-making tool for parents and a checklist for parents and guardians. Now, we had already scheduled this webinar, so we wanted to make sure that we provided you with the information that we had, but we also received some updated information as well that we're going to have to circle back on. I do recommend taking a look at those two resources. It will help walk you through some of the questions or concerns that you might have when deciding whether you think your child should return in person or whether you think they should start their school year online. Underneath that is the health and safety plan. These plans were approved by the school board on July 13th, but understand that they will be changing as the summer passes and progresses. So that new guidance that the CDC just came out with, we're going to have to go back and update those plans. And we'll continue to repost them and log for you in there how they've been updated. And a good example of that is the FAQ list that we had started to create. And a lot of the questions that I have in my hand right now actually are addressed in that FAQ. But if you didn't know how to get there before, you probably didn't have those answers. So we are going to go back and update those as well. But I just felt it really important to walk everybody through exactly where to go to find the most recent information. There's also a tool on the website that will translate some of this information into other languages. So that is an option as well. That does it for the explanation piece. So I'm going to stop sharing my screen, which brings us all back live. And I have several questions in my hand, and I'm gonna ask the panelists help me to answer some of these questions as we go through. And remember, if we don't get all of the questions, we will as a panel sit down, answer them, and post them to the FAQ. And once you've had an opportunity to go back and rewatch this webinar or to look at some of those resources, you might have some of your questions answered also. So the first question that we received is, well, where are we going to find the survey that you're talking about? We are going to send the survey out from each building via email. So there'll be an alert now that goes out, just like the one that announced this webinar, and it will include the link. We are requesting that you fill out one survey per child. So if you have five children at Elroy, we would request that you fill out the survey five times. And again, that survey is going to be released on Wednesday. If you have children at Moore, we'll ask you to do the same. et cetera, et cetera. The middle school and high school survey is a little bit different because we have to account for some different schools on there, such as Steele Center. And I know I have some questions in my hand about Steele Center, so we'll get to those as well. But that's how you're going to receive the survey. The survey is going to be due back on Sunday. So that gives you a few days to collect your thoughts, look over the information, and respond so that we can begin calling families. Because right now we have 403 people on this webinar, but that means that we have probably half or maybe even over half of our population that didn't get to hear this. So we need to get the information out to them as well. The next question is, will laptops be provided to students? And the answer is yes, they will be. But as you heard Mr. Radcliffe say, with the pandemic, there has been a back order of devices. So we are currently waiting on the one-to-one devices that were ordered for all of the students. And as he explained, and this goes for elementary as well, if you select the online version to start the school year, you will be assigned a laptop for that. And then those that are in person may not get a laptop if we don't have enough to go around. And that's a real possibility. The teachers were notified of that, and they are already making plans to create packets or lessons or resources. So that's where we're at with that. Will there be on-site orientation for the new sixth graders going to middle school? So, Mr. Radcliffe, I'm going to defer to you on that one.
I hope so. We are in the process of looking at how we can best do that. We still have to stay within the guidelines that the governor is passing down in terms of number of people that can be in a single area. So we are discussing whether or not we can bring families in small groups, because I do know that the move to sixth grade could be very anxious for a lot of families. So just know that we are in the process of looking how we can provide the most information to families and do it in a safe way. And I will get that information out as soon as we have some guidance on whether or not we can have certain sizes of groups in at one time.
Thank you. The next question applies to our elective class, and specifically this one for Jim. It says, why is gym class being considered, and how is safety ensured? So as you might imagine, the typical games that we would have played in gym class probably can't be played anymore. So we are going to have to adapt our curriculum to make sure that we can participate in activities and lessons that will promote social distancing, or physical distancing, as I like to refer to it as. So gym teachers are working on that right now. There's also a big push to have class outside. So again, we are going to try and utilize the outside space, but we do have to keep considerations like heat in mind also as we move forward. So it will depend on the building and the setup as far as what activities will be done in gym class. Something else to think about, if we can do gym class online successfully, which there is such a thing, we will be able to figure out how we can do gym class in person as well. So it brings out the creativity in all of us, that's for sure. It says here, what are the hours for in-person at Elroy? So again, we'll refer back to what we said. Let me actually pull it for you so that I quote it exactly correctly. So classes begin at 8:15, which is 15 minutes sooner than they had began this year, and that students will begin dismiss at 1:35. Now there will be a staggered start time and a staggered dismissal time. And since Elroy has 100 more students than Moore does, depending on how many choose to come back, those procedural questions might have to be answered a little bit differently depending on the building. Same at the middle high school. We will have to look at different entrances and exits for students. It says here, rather than cutting the school day short for in-person and then doing a short remote school shift, why not just live broadcast or live stream class? Excellent question. And this is one that we've had a great deal of discussion about. We are looking at all options right now. As you heard, we did discourage that last year because we didn't have an opportunity for teachers to go through some professional development. There are some legal questions that we also have to answer with that. We are giving the teachers the option that if they want to do the live and synchronous streaming, that they can. And as teachers become more comfortable and as students get into the routine, it is very possible that that could streamline as the year goes on, if necessary. Is there anyone else from the panel that wanted to chime in on that response? No? Okay. It says here, for the secondary students, will they have to travel classroom to classroom, unlike the elementary students? So, Mr. Radcliffe, do you want to address that one?
Yeah, that is one of the major differences that, from the elementary school to the middle and high school. Specifically at the high school and to a lesser degree at the middle school, students don't all have the same schedule. So I did see a chat question pop up earlier, which is a very good question. At the elementary school, the kids are basically together in a cohort throughout the day, and it's a little easier for the teachers to change. However, once kids get to the middle school and especially to the high school, their courses are all very different throughout the day. So two students may both have geometry, but one of those students may have Spanish and one of those kids may have German, and they may have two different science classes. So it's pretty much impossible at the high school level and to some degree at the middle school level to have the teachers travel. In addition to the courses that, that students take, there's also certifications among the teachers that we must consider. So because students all have different courses and all have different schedules, it would be just about impossible at the middle or high school level to have the teachers travel.
I do think it's important to note, though, that we have learned that the recommendations are to include cohorts of students as much as possible. So again, after we get the survey results back, every effort will be made to group students as cohorts so that if there is an exposure or a confirmed case, that we can use that in our contact tracing as well. Mr. Radcliffe has sort of answered this question already, but we'll expand on it a little bit more. It says, will there be elective classes at the middle and high school as part of the day? Mr. Radcliffe?
Yes, we will have, the students will have the same choices for elective classes that they've had any other year, and those classes will be available both in person or online. So any elective classes that your child signed up for, they still will be scheduled into those classes, whether they're in person or online.
Now, this question is more of a procedural question, and it says, if someone is positive, will we be alerted? And the answer is yes. So right now, we have several different flow charts that are in our school solicitor's hands right now, and he is going through and checking that they are up to date with the most recent guidance that we have been given by the CDC. I can tell you that I have been on phone calls with the Allegheny County Health Department, as well as different doctors from UPMC and AHN, and we have mapped out a process for how families will be notified, because we also have to notify teachers as well. Now, part of that is that we do have to maintain privacy, so names will not be released, but going back to the cohort idea, if we have a confirmed case or an exposure case, we will then backtrack. We will share a letter. The Allegheny County Health Department has put together a letter for us that, again, we are waiting on a final version of to be able to submit to families as well, just to let everybody know that if this letter comes home, it means that there was an exposure somewhere here in the school. So that is something that is definitely coming down the pike. So the next question is exactly a duplicate of the one before. How will it be handled at each of the buildings? It will be a district-wide procedure that is followed for that. And I will tell you that the Allegheny County Health Department has told us that they will work directly either with the school superintendent or a school nurse or whatever point of contact we want to name so that as they're notified, they will then have a direct connection with us. So look for that information to come as well. This question is about how do we sign up for the YMCA after school program, and will they take the bus from their school? Now, this is a great question, and I appreciated the person who sent this because they said, my child's going to be in kindergarten. So these are for all the new families that are joining us. We actually have a YMCA program both at Elroy and at Moore Elementary School. So the great news is those students don't have to leave the school. We have started communication with the YMCA, and they have agreed to do those programs after school from 1:35 to 6. I told them that we were doing this webinar today, and they assured me that what the prices that they had set at the end of last school year were going to remain the price of the upcoming school year. So we are going to be able to send out those flyers very shortly. They are also required to follow all of the guidelines that we are required to follow, and they are being monitored by the Department of Health for Pennsylvania. So they have been very specific with us about their needs and what they would need from us in order to make that program happen. So thank you for submitting that question. It says here, what is the maximum number of students that will be allowed in each high school class? And the answer to that question is it depends on the room size. As Mr. Radcliffe said, our maintenance department has literally gone around and measured every single classroom. And we have an internal document that shows us how large each classroom is and how many students we could fit in that classroom if they were 6 feet apart, and how many students we could fit if they were 3 feet apart. And the reason that's important is right now the guidance says if you can maintain 6 feet or more between students, then masks may not be required at that point. So if we can do that, depending on how many students come back, that would be some relief. Now, if we cannot guarantee the 6 feet of distance, then they must wear the mask. So again, it's going to depend on the survey results that we get back. Water. The last time we were told the kids can take water bottles, half of the teachers told them they weren't allowed to drink it because the water created too much of a mess. What is going to happen when the teachers tell the kids no for wanting water at their desks? Anybody want to tackle that other than me?
I will. Given the present situation, this is something that's completely new to us. So it would be a district policy that the children are permitted to have water bottles, all of them. So it wouldn't be at each teacher's discretion. It would be an administrative, you know, policy. So every child would be able to if they so choose. Mm-hmm. Given the water fountains will be shut off, that's another reason too. But it's for, you know, sanitary purposes, hygiene, and not sharing of items. Mm-hmm.
And I think a larger point to this too is we have to have these conversations. So we have to have conversations about washing of hands, carrying water bottles, and why that's important. So that's why we're relying on parents quite heavily to help us with those conversations. And internally, we'll have those conversations with the staff here as well. Here's another great question. It says, are face shields acceptable over masks for the younger kids? Mrs. Greer, do you want to tackle that one?
Well, the latest studies that have shown that masks are more efficient with droplet transmission as opposed to face shields. So they are recommending that face mask cloth coverings be worn by all students K through 12.
Now, we also do know that the guidance has been updated for students that might have a 504 or IEP. So we do know that that has to be written in their plan. If there is not a 504 and IEP in place, we would need documentation from a medical professional explaining what the concern is. And again, this is because of the mandate that we are all under with the face masks right now.
Correct.
Will students who claim that they can't wear masks be required to provide medical documentation? Will masks be enforced to be worn over the nose? So again, this is very important. We are literally going to have to build time into the day to teach students how to wash their hands properly. Another thing that we're going to have to do is teach our students how to wear masks properly. And that does include having the mask over the nose and mouth. So we've seen some pretty creative ways that masks can be worn. So again, parents, you can help us out by starting those conversations, maybe starting small with maybe 5 minutes of wearing a mask. We know if you're going out in public right now that you do have to wear the mask as it is. So the more that we can start this conversation now, I think the better off we're going to be. When we first came out with our plan, we did not have the additional guidance of how we could require documentation. That information has since come out as of last week, and we're very grateful for that. We do feel very strongly that that's one of the best ways to prevent spread is by wearing the mask and to physical distance. So we will be looking to enforce that. But the other important piece I want to mention is that punitive consequences will probably not get the results that we need. So we're going to need a lot of collaboration and cooperation in that area. There is a question here about will students be required to wear masks in August and September when the buildings have no air conditioning? Now, there are two separate issues here. As Mrs. Greer stated, the transmission of the disease is through the respiratory droplets that are out. Right now, every room has a univent that brings outside air in. So the next thought is, well, if it's 90 degrees outside, it's bringing in hot air, how are our kids, going to be able to breathe and produce or be productive in a classroom? I have talked to two doctors right now who have not been able to give us guidance. I'm going to be on a phone call again tomorrow with a third doctor, and we're going to press for this because we do believe that there is educational loss if we have to be in a hot environment and students have to wear masks. So it may be very possible that given a day that might be 95 or heat zone action day, that we might have to do all remote learning. And that's a point where we're going to have to ask parents to really cooperate with us. We know it's going to be a stressful time at home. We know our staff have children that need to be in school as well. But if their school also closes on those days, we're going to have to be flexible about how we manage that. So just something to keep in mind that we don't have a final answer yet, but no, it is definitely at the forefront of our planning. Let's see here. A couple questions about Steele Center. It says, will there be Steele Center and how will this affect in-person schedules? So just a little bit of background for those of you that don't know what Steele Center is. It is our career and technical school. We are one of 11 districts that send students to the Steele Center location. They can learn automotive, they can learn cosmetics, healthcare professional. This is for our students in the senior high school. A final decision has not been made about Steele Center. I do know that they do have an online learning system, just like we do. If necessary, they may have to go to online as well. Certainly, it's not ideal. That's not anybody's first choice, but they are also stating that they're going to be flexible. So as we talk about options, we are talking about in-person first, and if we can't do that, then we will do the virtual option for as long as we need to. Transportation that goes along with that. Right now, there is very specific guidance about what needs to happen with transportation. So we are scheduled to have approximately 55 students attend Steele Center, if I'm remembering correctly off the top of my head. We do know that they would be required to wear masks on the bus. There might be only two in a seat, every other seat. The capacity on the school bus will significantly be decreased. Again, we are asking for further clarification from our medical professionals on how we're going to have to proceed with that. So more information is to come. We are saying, though, that it will be possible that students may choose the online option here at Brentwood, but then may choose to be in person at Steele Center or vice versa. So again, we're trying to be as flexible as we can with those options. Does anybody else have anything else that they wanted to add about that? No? Okay. All right, so those were all about Steele Center. Let me look at my next list here. Can students go to school part-time on-site and remote on other days? So we are asking families to make a determination to either start out online or in person. The reason we're asking to do that is for planning. We need to know how many students we can put into a classroom, and we need to know what the physical distancing would be. So if we were to flip-flop back and forth in a given week, it would be nearly impossible for us to plan for that. That's why we chose the 4.5-week option, which is midway through a 9 weeks. But we understand that a student may become ill, and maybe not even with COVID. Maybe they're ill with the flu or a cold, and they're following directions of don't come to school if that's the case. That's an extenuating circumstance. That's when we would request that the family speak directly with the building principal about how to handle that. And again, this is why the Brentwood Canvas option is so important. When we have all of the materials and work and lessons in there, if I'm a student and I'm in person and then I go home at the end of the night and I need to log into my Canvas account to maybe find the activities there, I can do that. So that was the goal of having both online. It is 7:56. I still have a stack of questions in my hand, so I'm going to keep going for a little bit longer. But again, remember, if we don't get to your question, we will answer them in the FAQ that is out there. Let's see here. Okay, this question was literally the same question as the one I just talked about with can we go back and forth between the hybrid and the in-person. If the remote learning is our option, will our elementary students still have the ability to meet their teacher in person at the beginning of the year? That's a great question. I think we need to talk about that a little bit further. We do have to follow the guidelines and the mandates that are out there. We'll have to get back to you on that one. I don't want to misspeak and put anybody off. So please allow us to talk about that one and get back to you. A sports question. Should sports be permitted by the PIAA? Can parents come in person to watch? Can we sign a waiver to attend, or will each sport be streamed like graduation? So as of right now, we did receive updated guidance on activities. And it's as clear as mud, so bear with me. If the activity is outside, the guidance that came out on Thursday says you can have up to 250 people at that event as long as physical distancing is in place and the other guidelines like face masks are worn. So let's think about a football game. Mr. Radcliffe, I'm not very good with how many kids are usually on a football team. Help me out on that one.
11 on each team on the field, so that would be 22. Each schools our size, I would say on the average, have anywhere between maybe 25 and 40 players total on the team. So obviously both of those entire rosters would count towards that amount. You're talking about 6-7 officials, people holding the sticks on the side, you know, all those kind of things, all the coaches, they all have to be counted. Obviously if the EMS is there, those people would be included.
And then if after we account for all of those, then we have the marching band that could be there and the cheerleaders, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so we are getting up over 100 very quickly. So after we count all of those people, we would then move to parents. And again, the maximum is 250. Here's my concern, though. We are talking about not having students be able to be within 6 feet of each other inside. So the regulations for indoor activities are very different. The guideline from the governor so far says that you can't go over 25 people for an indoor activity. So if we had a volleyball team that was maybe 20 players and we had two coaches, that's 22 people right there, plus the referees, plus the score keepers, et cetera. So we're going to hit 25. I am not convinced right now, and I'm speaking brutally honestly as I can, I just don't see how that's going to be feasible. So we are still waiting on additional guidance, but I want to explain that our top priority is education, and the activities and the athletics and the arts are definitely falling right after that. But let's be practical about how we think this is going to unfold. What is the current status of the health and safety plan? Has it been approved? And what are the issues pending approval? So as I mentioned, the plan was approved, but what that really talks about are the processes that we're going to use within the school. That doesn't necessarily confirm what we're going to do on the instructional side. And I think there was a lot of misunderstanding about what that plan was to do. What we're talking about tonight is the instructional side, which is very different from the health and safety plan. So that plan will continue to be updated throughout the summer as guidance changes. And we gave a few examples tonight about how that guidance has changed. So keep an ear or an eye out for it, as you'll see it on the district website. Let's see here. How are parents to make decisions about how the child is going to go back to school without a schedule? Depending on the difficulty of a closed schedule determines if I can have my child do remote learning, especially since teachers did not instruct last year. So I think the point that we really want to make with this particular question is we recognized that the program that we implemented in the spring last year does not meet our standard for moving forward. We did what we could with the best information that we had at the time. You might recall that we were being told 2 weeks at a time that we were not returning to school, or maybe we were returning to school, which made it very difficult. So from March until now is July, we have made significant strides with the programming that we are choosing to offer our students. So again, we would request that you bear with us, as we do recognize that we needed to provide a way more rigorous program. It will be the district curriculum that is in Canvas. So I do want to stress that. Here's a question about attendance. It says, are children's attendance under less scrutiny given the potential for greater sick days per school recommendations? Yes. Again, the guidance that we received did ask us to keep in mind that we needed more flexible attendance policies this year for our students and our staff. We are still working through what that's going to look like. Last year, you might recall that when we did go out in March, we asked the school board to give us the flexibility to change the policies, especially for our graduating seniors, so that we had that flexibility. I envision that that's what it's going to look like for this school year also, but we are working through that. So yes, there will be more flexible policies. We have surpassed the 8 o'clock mark. I do have still questions in my hand. So I am going to wrap it up here. And again, I'm going to reiterate that we will definitely continue to answer questions. The survey comes out Wednesday. At the end of the survey for each school, it's going to tell you that if you have questions about your own child, that the best person to get a hold of is going to be the building principal for your child's school to talk through some of that. I do encourage you to go back and rewatch this webinar. I encourage you to look at the resources that the CDC put out that we have on our website. And please look at the FAQs, because a lot of these questions were definitely in those FAQs. And as we update them, we will mark that on there. We thank you for taking the time to come out and listen to our proposal. We do encourage you to participate, and please spread the word. The more families that we have that answer the survey, the better planning we can do for all of our children. I would like to thank our panelists for taking time out of their summer and their night to be here. We greatly appreciate that. Dr. Bettler and Dr. Pagan, thank you for writing feverishly in there so that you could bring me the questions. And we could answer them as a panel. Before I close out the meeting, are there any remarks from the panelists that would like to, final comments?
Dr. Birch, I just wanted to make one comment because I noticed there are a few people asking in the questions. Is there going to be kindergarten this year? So I wanted to make them know that yes, kindergarten through 12th grade will be, what's your choice of remote or in the building. If you are not registered, you'll need to contact a district to get registered. So I'm assuming some of those who are questioning that may not have registered yet.
Yeah. So if I could just add one thing too, I saw a couple questions in the chat box coming up. There's always, communication among teachers, that's so important. But the teachers realize now it's more important than ever. I think there was a comment about, will teachers be, communicating as far as how much they got through the curriculum last year? So we know, absolutely. I mean, throughout March, April, May, there were weekly grade level team meetings through Microsoft Teams. There were weekly department meetings. You know, a lot of it was just trying to brainstorm how we were doing it. But certainly moving forward, we'll continue those conversations, but we'll also be talking about, where we left off, what we weren't able to get to, what we need to, improve upon. And in terms of the curriculum, we'll definitely be, that will be an ongoing conversation with all of the teachers in terms of what we were able to, accomplish last year and what we need to, accomplish this year. And once again, we're committed to students, whether it's, in person or remote learning. We're committed to all the students. We're going to do the best that we can for all of the Brentwood students. Thank you.
And just thank you for joining us. And also, just to mention, I know there are so many questions, and in 1 hour, it's hard to answer every question at every different level from kindergarten through seniors in high school because they're all so different. But please, please reach out to Dr. Alexa at the high school, myself at the middle school, and Dr. Bettler and Dr. Pagan at the elementary schools. If you have specific questions for your child, and Dr. Winarski, if you have questions about special education or ESL, but please reach out to us. We can give you as much information as we possibly have available to help you make the choice that's best for your child, because many of us also have children in school, and we all know how important it is to make the best decision for your own child. So if you did not get a question answered, please try not to get frustrated. Give us a call. We'll do the best that we can to answer any questions that you have.
And I would like to say that I think we're small enough that we can answer those questions. Parents that had been emailing me, they did get a very detailed response back, and that's how we operate here, and we firmly believe in the education that we're offering. So thank you. Again, please spread the word, because the more information that we have out there among parents, the better off we're all going to be. Excellent way to summarize everything. This will not be the last webinar that we do also. We will circle back once we have some more information for you to give you some additional guidance to help you move along. But for right now, the key is please complete the survey. All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a great night.